sisters. Bitterness will drive you to do things that you never thought that you would do. Well, I'm sitting here right now, Brother Brian, that's never going to happen to me. I've known people that got so bitter and angry that they'd have been better off dead than what they lived through. My heart for you this morning is, if you are bitter, my heart is that you'll deal with it, with God helping you deal with it. We say, I'm not bitter this morning, Brother Brian. Well, there might become a time where somebody really hurts you and you start towards that road. Or you might know somebody who is bitter today. I want you to give them God's word. I want you to share this story with them that we're going to look into. And I want you to tell them that Jesus Christ can heal all of our wounds. Let's go to Him in prayer. God, You know what's in our hearts. You know what we're about to see and understand and learn. I pray You would give us clearance. That, Lord, You would help us to see if there's a seed of bitterness in us and to deal with it. We may have a loved one or friend who's bitter and angry. I pray, God, that they would see and hear from us and show them the truth. Heal us, Father. Help us to deal with these issues in our lives. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Why did Ahithophel do this? Why did he go and hang himself? Well, first off, we need to learn who Ahithophel was. Next slide, Brother Jeff, if you would. Who was Ahithophel? There we go. All right, 2 Samuel chapter 15. 2 Samuel chapter 15. Let's look a little bit about who he was. 2 Samuel chapter 15. We're going to spend most of our time in 2 Samuel. We'll go into the New Testament towards the end. But 2 Samuel chapter 15, we're going to learn about a little bit about who he was. 2 Samuel 15, verse number 12. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gileonite, and here's what he was. He was David's counselor from his city. Ahithophel was one of David's trusted counselors. He was one of David's right-hand men. We learn later on, and we won't go there this morning, we learn that he was one of his mighty men. He was one of his men that he counted on. He was a man who had the king's ear. He was a man who had every access to King David, unlike anybody else had. Ahithophel was King David's advisor and counselor. Okay, now that's very key. I want you to understand that. Look at the second thing about Ahithophel. He was Eliam's father. He was Eliam's father. Go to 2 Samuel 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. It's all going to come clear in just a second. You'll see. 2 Samuel 23, verse number 34. Second Samuel 23, verse 34, it says, Eliphelet, the son of Abishai, the son of, these are hard words, Machonite, Eliam, the son of Ahithophel. Okay, so Ahithophel is the father of Eliam. So, we know that Ahithophel is a counselor and advisor to King David. We see that he's the father of Eliam. Now you say, well, Brother Brian, what has that got to do with anything? You've not helped me. You've not clued me in. Well, I think you're going to recognize this next passage. Stay here in 2 Samuel. Now go to chapter number 11. 2 Samuel chapter number 11. Remember, he's a counselor. He's Eliam's dad. 2 Samuel chapter number 11, verse number 3. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse number 3. And David sent and inquired after the woman. Now remember, this is his counselor. And one said, is not this Bathsheba the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? You see the connection? Ahithophel is one of David's trusted counselors, advisors. He's the father of Eliam, who is the father of Bathsheba. Grandpas, How upset would you be if somebody did to your grandchild what David did? Daddies, how angry would you be? Oh my goodness, they put me in jail probably. If somebody did to your daughter what David did. Does Ahithophel have every right to be angry? Yes, he does. Does Ahithophel have every right to be hurt? Yes, he does. I'm not going to stand here and tell you, well, Ahithophel should have just gotten over it. It ain't no big deal, sweet. No, that would be foolish. We're human beings. We've all been hurt. People have done things to us and said things about us and not allowed these certain things. We've all been through it. Some of you have been, you get over one thing and something else happens to you. And it's like you can't catch a break. And you're wondering, when's it going to be over, God? Can you imagine when Ahithophel got the word that his granddaughter had been taken advantage of, the anger that sprouted up inside of him? Maybe this morning, that's where you are. You are mad. You're so mad you could spit bullets. I'm not going to ask you to think of that person you're mad because you live with that person every day. You say, what do you mean? You wake up in the morning thinking about them. You go to bed at night thinking about them. A moment doesn't go by that you're not dealing with that anger and that bitterness and that image. And what was here is now here. And it's driving you crazy. And you may be saying, you know what? That's not where I am. But maybe you've got a loved one or a friend who's there right now. They wake up, they go through the day, and they go to bed at night going through this. Let me ask you a question. How many of you know somebody going through this right now? I do. More than one person. Can I confess to you? I've been there too. It hurts. And that's what Ahithophel's dealing with right now. Look at point number two. We see who he was. But let's look at number two. Let's see what caused it. We know it already, but let's read it anyway. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. David, where he was, it should have been. He should have been at battle, but instead he stayed home. He should have been with his men, doing what he's supposed to do, but instead he stayed home. And it came to pass in the eventide that David arose from his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman and said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her, and she came unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned to her house. Look at verse number 5. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, "I am with child." Low down, dirty. David has... Mother has put a knife in Uriah. Twisted it. Not only does he have a relationship with a woman that doesn't belong to him, not his wife. She gets pregnant from it. And then you continue the story. He gets Uriah to come home when he finds out that she's pregnant. He gets Uriah, her husband, to come back from battle. He tries different ways to try to get him to go in and be with his wife so he can cover up his sin. And the husband has so much integrity and so much character. He says, "No, I'm not going to do that. My friends and my brothers are dying on the battlefield. How can I enjoy life back here at home?" So much more than David had. David gets upset and says, "You know what? I'm going to take care of this." He sends Uriah back to the battlefront. He says, "Okay, Uriah, take this note to your general. When you get there, give it to him and he'll know what to do." Uriah didn't read the note because he's a good soldier. Integrity again.
He goes, gives it back to Joab. Joab opens it up, and he says to himself, man, Uriah really must have made the king mad. He says, Uriah, I want you to get the battle in the front of the battle. You're going to lead the charge. And he instructs the rest of the men, when the battle takes place and it's heated, and Uriah's up front, I want you guys to withdraw and leave Uriah stranded. How many of you agree that is dirty? Sure enough, goes to battle. They're in the heat of the battle, and Uriah's doing his business. Yeah! And everything. And all the army withdraws. And Uriah's looking around saying, uh-oh. And he's killed. Word comes back to David. David puts on a show, and he marries Bathsheba. Low down, dirty dog. Amen? All this while, Ahithophel, who is David's counselor and advisor, sees it and understands what's going on. And his rage grows. And it grows. And it grows. And it grows. And they say, wait a minute, Brother Brian. David deserves to be punished. Yes, he does. And he gets punished. You see it. You see that that baby dies from that union. And then you see his sons begin to rebel. Because that's where the story picks up next. Absalom, one of David's sons, decides, you know what? My daddy's getting old. My daddy's lost his mind. I'm going to take over the kingdom now. So he gets a bunch of the Israelites together, and he says, you know what? We're going to rebel. And we're going to take over my dad's kingdom because he's lost it. I want to be king. Sure enough, half of Israel goes with Absalom, and half goes with David. Absalom rises up. David and his men take off and leave the city. And Absalom's in control. But guess who stays behind to help Absalom? Ahithophel. He was one of David's counselors. But now, he's got an opportunity. He sees a chance. Hey, Absalom's in control now. Maybe I can get David. I don't have to do it myself. I can get somebody else to take care of this for me. Isn't it one awful thing when we start to connive and try to figure out ways to take care of something and do it in our own power? Let's look at what Ahithophel does. Number three, how he tries to get revenge. All right, 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 31. So David leaves and he goes, verse number 31, talking about Absalom. And it says, one was told, David saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. David gets word. David, somebody who's giving your son advice was your counselor. He knows all about you, David. He knows your tendencies. He knows your ups. He knows your downs. He knows when you rise. He knows when you go to bed. David, one of those men who knows you is now against you. And David's scared because he's thinking, wow, this guy knows me. Now, just a sidelight. Do you think that David knew that Ahithophel was Bathsheba's granddad? Yes, he did. Because Ahithophel was one of David's mighty men. So was Uriah. So was Eliam. David knew what he was doing. That doesn't excuse it. But he knew. And so he says, God, would you take Ahithophel's bitterness and turn it against him? All right, look at the next step. Look what he does next. He tries to combat the betrayal. So David
takes care of the situation. Look at verse 32. And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshipped God, behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him with his coat rent in earth upon his head. And David said, if thou passest on with me, then thou shalt be a burden unto me. But return to the city and say to Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's servant. So will I now be thy servant. Then mayest thou defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. So David gets one of his counselors and he says, I'm going to send you to be a spy. And when you get to Absalom, you tell Absalom that you know where David is. And you tell Absalom, hey, here's how you deal with David. You become one of his counselors. Spy. And see if you can stop Ahithophel for me. All right? Next step in the process. Next slide, please. David's spy goes to work. Look at 2 Samuel 16. David's spy goes to work. 2 Samuel 16, verse number 15. And it says, and Absalom and all the people of the men of Israel came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel was with him. And it came to pass when Hushai, here's David's man, David's friend, was come to Absalom, that Hushai said unto Absalom, God save the king. God save the king. He comes up to Absalom. Absalom, I recognize you're the new king. I'm hoping God blesses you. And Absalom said to Hushai, is this thy kindness to thy friend? Why wentest thou not with thy friend? He says, why didn't you leave and go with David? What are you doing? And Hushai said unto Absalom, nay, but whom the Lord and this people and all the men of Israel choose, his will I be, and with him will I abide. Absalom says, now wait a minute. Aren't you one of my father's friends? And he says, no. I've turned coat. I'm your buddy now. Now, hold on a second. When I read this, I get to thinking, wait a minute. Why is God allowing David to get away with this? Why isn't God judging David now? Why is God not letting Absalom go ahead and be the king? David deserves it. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to skip ahead just a second here. God has everything in hand. He doesn't need our help. What he determines to do is going to be done regardless of what we do or what we don't do. When you try to take matters in your own hand and you try to solve the problem and you try to deal with the anger yourself, it's going to blow up in your face. See, God says, I'll deal with David. Ahithophel. But Ahithophel doesn't want to hear that. He is so angry and so aggravated that he hates David. So David's spy goes to King Absalom and says, okay, king, here's what you need to do. Right? Take the next step. Revenge gets a foothold. Look at chapter 16, verse number 20. Then said Absalom to Ahithophel, this is the man who's angry at David. He says, give counsel among what we should do. He says, okay, Ahithophel, you tell me what to do about this. And Ahithophel said unto Absalom, go unto thy father's concubines, which he hath left to keep the house, and all Israel shall hear that thou art a whore of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. And so they spread Absalom a tent upon the house, and Absalom went into his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. He says, Absalom, you go up to the roof of your dad's house and you take control and you show the whole city of Israel, of Jerusalem, you show Jerusalem that you're the king. You have taken over. So you go in and you be with his concubines. You show him, David, you show him, Absalom, that you're the new king, that you're the new man. I want to do everything I can to hurt David. Ahithophel's thinking, I'm going to get him. And I could just hear the maniacal laugh. Ringing with the hands. I got him now. He's dead meat. But may I tell you, that revenge always fails. Chapter 17, verse number 1. I'll kind of narrate it for you real quick. Absalom calls Ahithophel and says, "Okay, Ahithophel, you gave me good advice, and I'm now living with my father's concubines, and I've made a show of it. Now what should I do?" And Ahithophel says, "This is what you do, Absalom. You go and you send your army, and you go and you try to track down David. Matter of fact, he's probably hiding. And you go in and you'll track him down. And matter of fact, I'll lead the army. And when I find David, I'll take care of David. And you can have the rest of the army. But leave David to me. Just give me 12,000 men. And I'll get the job done." That's what you need to do, Absalom. Absalom thinks about it and says, "That's pretty good advice, Ahithophel. I like that." But he says, "You know what? Let me call in Archon." Now remember, this was David's other friend. He calls in and he says, "Hey, what should I do?" And he says, "Don't do anything. Don't do anything. Let David come to you." He's got to make a decision now. Do I follow Ahithophel's advice and give him the opportunity to kill David? Or do I listen to the other guy? Who do I follow? Now here's the kicker. And I don't understand this. If he'd have listened to Ahithophel, he'd have taken David out. Without a doubt, he'd have taken David out. But God, for some reason, spoke to Absalom's heart and says, "No, listen to the other fellow." And they don't go chase David. Now look at verse 14 of chapter 17. Look at it with me. "I've done all that to set this up. And Absalom and all the men of Israel said, 'The counsel of Hushai, the Archite, is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. For the Lord hath appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel, to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom.'" He says, "Ahithophel, you're out of your mind. I'm not taking your advice. Leave. I want nothing more to do with you. Get out of here." How many of you are following so far? How many of you know this, where we're at? Okay. Now, remember, Ahithophel saw his chance. The king's going to give me permission. I'm going to go hunt down David. It's a fail-proof plan. And the king comes to Ahithophel and says, "Ahithophel, your plan stinks. I'm not going to listen to you. You're trying to hurt me. Get out of here, Ahithophel. Get out of here." When Ahithophel leaves, he sees nothing left. He leaves the kingdom and he heads home. He gets on his donkey. He gets home, takes care of everything, and he hangs himself because he can't get his revenge. Why was he so bitter? Because he was hurt and he tried to deal with it himself. Why are you so bitter today? What has that person or that situation or that church or that job, what have they done to you that's making you so bitter that you feel like it's your job to get revenge? If I can just make a phone call, if I can just send an email, if I can just make a letter, if I can, and they're conniving and thinking of ways to get that revenge, and nothing's working, and it's getting you bitter. And it's eating you up. That's what Ahithophel was. He saw no hope. And so he decided to do the only thing he knew to do was to take his own life. Please don't get there. I'm begging you. Taking your own life is not a solution. You say, "Brother Brian, what do I do?" me show you four things real quick this morning, how to deal with it. Number one, understand the consequence. Go to Hebrews with me real quick. Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. Understand the consequence. Hebrews chapter number 12. Verse number 14, he says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, paying attention closely, lest any man fail of the grace of God, you getting out of God's grace, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. It says, pay attention to what God's speaking to your heart about. Pay attention to what God's trying to show you. Because if you don't, that bitterness will spring up. It will destroy you. But it says, many shall be destroyed. I've had a friend and I've had two friends that have decided to end it all. Not 100% sure why they did it. I have my understandings and my thoughts and my theories. But it didn't just ruin them. It ruined everybody around them. Bitterness doesn't only ruin you. It ruins your children. It ruins your spouse. It ruins your friends. It ruins your fellow believers. It ruins everything around you. Kind of like a barrel full of apples. You got one rotten one. What happens? It spreads to the whole thing. When bitterness creeps in, realize what's going to happen if you don't deal with it. Look at number two. Remember whose you are. Remember whose you are. Ephesians chapter number 4. Remember who you belong to. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being fast past feeling have given themselves to lasciviousness, to work uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Realize that when you trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior, you are a new person. You don't have to rely on bitterness and anger anymore. You don't have to have revenge. You are a brand new person. You say, Brother Brian, I've been saved for years. I know that. Then why are you letting bitterness creep in? You've forgotten who you belong to. I'm not discounting the hurt, because I've been hurt. And I'm dealing with something in my life right now. Still. I'm still hurt. Trying, and I'm begging God, please, God, I don't want bitterness. There's some days that I wake up thinking about it, and some days I go to bed thinking about it. Still. And I'm praying, God, please, I don't want bitterness to take hold of me. And there's not a thing I can do about it, physically, about the situation. Can't do it. And I need this. I've got to remember that God's inside of me and live like that. Look at number three. Rely on Christ's strength to deal with it. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 13. Most of you know this by heart. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can't get over it, Brother Brian. He said this, and she said that, and they did this to me. I can't do it. No, you can't. You cannot do it. But Christ can strengthen you to be able to deal with it.
the right way. You don't understand, Brother Brian. You do not understand. You're standing up there all high and mighty thinking you're this. I don't understand your situation. I don't understand my heart. Don't let bitterness destroy you. God can give you the strength today to deal with that anger and that bitterness. And when you wake up tomorrow, that same God can give you the strength to deal with it tomorrow. And on and on and on. Paul said, I die daily. I have to die daily to it too. So do you. Number 4. Let God do it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 30. Let God do it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 30. For we know him that hath said, God said this, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. God says, vengeance belongs to me, not you.
I could just get him in my hands. Just give me 5 minutes alone in a room with him. I'll give him some wall-to-wall counseling. Yeah, you probably would. And you would probably leave that room the only one standing because you're so angry. But what good is that going to do? Stand. You can come to the altar or you can stay where you're sitting. But I'm begging you, brother.
Singing. Won't you come? I'll pray with you. You can come pray with me.